Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most magical podcast in all the land, To Drink Minimum. The man in front of me is comedy legend and wizard enthusiast, Mike Ward.
Hey. I am Mike Ward. You are Pantelis.
And our guest today, international sorcerer, Chris Ramsey.
Love the intro. How long you worked on that?
It's whatever I come up with on the spot. Mostly it's Taliban related, but today was magical. And Poseidon, we haven't forgotten about you. Thank you for being here, Poseidon.
Hello. Yes.
Producing the fuck out of this show. He looks good today because he got a good night's sleep. Yes. You know how we did that, Mike?
Polysleep.
He got himself a new mattress. And you guys, listen to this, can do the same. If you head over to polysleep.ca and use the promo code TODRINK. Italics, right? All caps, italics?
All capital, italics and bold.
Underline if you can.
Yeah. And bold that shit.
Yeah, bold that shit.
Strike through.
You get 25% off. If you're ever interested in sleeping, probably they got pillows, they got mattresses, and they got discounts.
Dude, I've been waiting for a good night's sleep. This is a great opportunity.
Yeah. That's the magic
He's
of the
only
show.
17 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. He's tired.
He's been sleeping on a shitty mattress.
If only he knew about polysleep.ca. Yeah,
exactly. I haven't aged.
So, fuck, Chris, welcome to the show, bro.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. This is huge.
Look, I have to ask you a question straight off the bat. Everyone's going to be wondering, and I'm going to be the one to tell it.
There
you
go.
Are you a witch?
Do I have to answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all a setup.
Yeah.
Yeah? Magical.
Yeah.
You think I don't know what you're up to?
Yes.
With your witchery, black magic
straight up.
Witchery.
Yeah,
100%. Voodoo, perhaps.
Yeah, I'll throw you off by messing up a few tricks. That's how I roll. So after messing up a few tricks, you're like, oh, this guy's not even real, you know, and then I'll fuck you up after that.
How do you get into magic? Like, how did you get into magic?
I mean, the generic answer that I usually give people is, like, I never really got out of it, like, as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, growing up,
but
you kind of outgrow.
But how did you get into, because I still like watching magic. I don't get as excited as a typical black man in the street would, but I get excited.
Yeah.
But how did you get into, I want to fool people.
Yeah, I think what put me over the edge was the David Blaine specials in 99. So there was a street magic special came out. Blew my fucking head open. You know, because everything else was just convoluted. The typical tropes you see on stage, the tigers and all this bullshit. And this guy is just doing tricks in the ghetto to like crackheads and shit. And they're freaking out. And I'm like, this is awesome. And that really, I remember catching it on TV because you'd have to wait for it to play, right? And I'd study it, recreate his tricks. And that's kind of how I started getting into it. But I started,
oh, really? So you'd record it and then you'd be like, I think he did it like this?
I'd reverse engineer his card tricks and everything and then figure it out.
How old were you?
This was in 99, so I was probably 16, 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same, almost like Poseidon. Same videos. But he went in for the crack, stayed for the magic.
He's like, where are they getting that crack? But I bartended as well for like 3 years at the age of 20, 21. And it's a great place to like, oh shit, let me turn this shit off.
One second. This is a magic trick, guys.
Yeah. It's David Blaine. Yeah. Oh, it's based on sleep. Oh, fuck.
Should you put him on?
Yeah, him on.
Hey.
Salut, Vincent, ça va? Ça va super bien. c'est Two Drink Minimum avec Pantelis.
Salut.
All right.
Too good.
Cool.
Ciao.
All right, see ya. Dayson Asif was an excellent magician.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
He didn't even know he was going to have a cameo. Yeah, that's the magic I was talking about.
Yeah. Oh, he knew. He's a magician. Come on.
So you guys all know each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, as I was saying, like in a bar, really easy to sort of hone that craft because people are drunk, loud music, low lighting. You got a place to ditch shit if you're the bartender. You know what I mean? So you can mess up all you want. So it's a great place to like practice on people. And I started getting booked for gigs after that. So.
How does one get booked for a magic gig? Is it similar to like a stand-up?
Corporate events, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly corporate, private events, that type of thing.
Does anyone ever legitimately get scared and they go, this is voodoo?
Yeah, it's happened in the States, more like really? Down south. Yeah. You get some people that are like, I had one guy try to fight me once.
You like, listed here, Warlock.
We were filming like a special, yeah. And he was getting all freaked out and he's like, I don't fuck with that shit. And he started rushing me and stuff. I was like, no. And I was trying to explain to him, this is how I did it, dude. Chill. God, like, look how I did it. And he's like, I don't fucking care. And yeah, he was going off.
That's like going in a time machine.
Yeah.
Like, you have to explain magic to someone in 2017. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if I had a time machine, I'd be hanging over everyone's door, to be honest.
People love magic. I was doing a podcast at my studio with one of my buddies, a musician, yesterday. And I just said, as we were leaving, he's like, when are you recording Two Drinking Men? I'm like, oh, tomorrow we have a guest. And I said, he's a magician. And I go, Chris. And then he finished. He's like, Chris Ramsey? Chris Ramsey? Like, yeah, how did you know? He's like, bro, everybody knows. Everybody knows. I watch his stuff. Bro, have you seen his puzzles? Have you seen him do the puzzles? He was fucking super excited.
Hell yeah.
Everybody's fucking excited with your shit.
Yeah, man. It's fun.
Yeah, and I watched an episode this morning of Big Trick Energy, which is amazing. Have you seen that show?
No.
You guys sold that to True TV, right?
Yeah, True TV, yeah.
So do you prank people?
It's like a mix between Jackass, Practical Jokers, and David Blaine.
Yeah, kind of like a mix between the three. It was fun to shoot. But honestly, like doing it for cable TV was like that, like tore my heart out, like mostly because the stuff on the cutting room floor obviously is just so good that they can't show on TV.
And
on
does True TV, you can't swear on True TV.
You can't swear. Okay. There's lots of rules. Like we weren't, because we shot this in the pandemic of January last year and it aired in April.
Oh, wow.
So we were shooting while episodes were being edited. Like we got done shooting mid March, April 1st. It went live. So it was a crazy turnaround. And during the pandemic, like the heat of the pandemic, everything was shut down. And it was funny because like every time there was somebody with a mask in the background, the corporate people were like, no, 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 we can't have that in the shot. We don't want to remind people about COVID. So the amount of shit we lost because of that. And like, it was a bit of a nightmare. Yeah. It was a lot of things because we couldn't have random strangers on camera because you'd have to be tested.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that really fucked us, being a prank show, magic show.
Like when in the I think it was the first episode, when you guys go buy a car.
Yeah.
The car salesman.
In on it. Well, not in on it.
You had to test them before?
Everybody. Absolutely everybody on that show, so it really fucked us. So sometimes we'd be like, because they're all kind of actors at this point, right? And they're like, this is my time to shine. So they'll overact and shit, even if they don't know what's happening, which really kind of ruined it for us. But yeah, so... Not ideal shooting, you know, something in the pandemic like that. But
I'd love behind the scenes of that.
Yeah.
And how was it? Because there's one of the two of the guys that are French, or one is more French.
Yeah, Alex.
But,
yeah.
But and sometimes like he'd like swear in French, and I was like, this is crazy. This is American TV. Like
they let it slide.
Yeah.
Because they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know. But there's something cool about that.
Yeah, there is.
Like just a tabarnak.
Yeah, we told him to do it. We're like, they're not gonna catch. They don't.
They don't know.
You don't even know where to Google what he's saying, really.
For anyone that doesn't speak French and they watch a show, it's mostly N-bombs. Now you know. It's like I was thinking of like the car guy. You tell him to get tested.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if you had some behind the scenes stuff. It's like, so we have to test you. Like, as long as it's not for AIDS.
You can tell that car dealers really want to sell a car.
Yeah.
That you're like, look, we're going to film you. You need to get tested. And he's like, all right.
Yeah, I'll do anything.
If I can sell a Jeep.
Yeah, he's like, I'll do anything. I'll do anything you want.
Oh, so that kind of ruins.
He wasn't even Indian. He was doing brown face. Like, he was like, I just want to. Oh, yeah.
I'll do what it takes.
I got
what is the casting like,
whatever you need.
I got a funny toque in the back. Let me put my brown face on. It's going to be amazing.
But that eliminates the surprise because I like I like people's reactions when they freak out over magic. So that eliminates that whole aspect of it.
Yeah, it did sometimes. We had to be clever about it. We had to be really tricky about it. So sometimes for the casting, because we'd have to cast people, we'd tell them it was a travel show.
Okay.
Or it was a cooking show.
Oh, that's good.
And then we'd set up hidden cameras in the place where we were shooting, and we would act as extras. Right? So, like, before the cameras are on, and we'd tell everybody to hold their cameras, kind of, like, relax to make it look like they're not filming. And then we'd, like, hey, oh, did you see this? Look how fucked up this is or whatever. And they'd freak out because then it was real.
I like this strategy. Yeah,
so yeah. We had to, like, you know, sort of wiggle our way into reactions there. So,
how did this show get on the air? Is it True TV that contacted you? Or you pitched the show to them?
We pitched the show to them. So me and my buddy Wes Barker, another fantastic Canadian magician. And we basically went to a production company called Diga in New York. They loved it. And we just started pitching it. We went to all the major, you know, all the major players, traveled for like a week, did all that. And then True TV picked it up. They're like, we'll get a pilot. So they gave us a big budget for a pilot, which was episode one. And then they greenlit it. And then a year later, we filmed the rest.
Okay.
And then now, where do you stand with that? Now that
we're not doing season two, it for so many reasons, but the major reason is the network itself. Their direction is like, I don't know if you've seen True TV, but it's 95%
Impractical Jokers. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Seven shows there.
Yeah. Even they have a game show. It's the same guy.
Yeah, and their audience does not like anyone sort of competing with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very bad.
That's
and I'm like,
funny. They took over the network.
Yeah, 100%. They're all, you know, they're all EPs and everything else, right? So there's that. And then they've shifted into like, it's a really red state sort of channel. So they shifted into wrestling and like all the, you know,
they have
all
wrestling on True TV.
They have wrestling on True TV. It's big
in
the States.
Is it the Practical Jokers that are wrestling?
They could, man. They can't do any wrong, those guys, honestly.
Wow, he looks a bit like a young Sal Volcano.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
People have often said this.
Not
on
as
the internet.
Funny, but
no, not at all. But people have said this on the internet about him. Oh, that's crazy that they took over the whole network, but I noticed it too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they bought the whole network. They're crazy, yeah.
It's good on for one aspect, the fact that people like them a lot, but it's bad because it's kind of like a building. If you have one tenant and you rent everything to one tenant, if he goes broke,
dude,
you're done.
Their reruns were getting more views than anything else. Like, we were actually, when the pilot and for the first few episodes, we were number two on the network.
Because of the reruns?
No, just because it was like fresh and it was magic and the marketing they used was
But
huge.
I mean, number one was the reruns.
Number one was them, their shows. But their after shows. That, it was like five or six iterations of the same show, like behind the scenes and, you know,
what
all that
the
stuff.
Fuck?
Yeah.
Pretty and your crazy. Show too, just the name makes people want to listen.
Yeah, we're happy we got away with that.
Yeah.
Oh, did you think maybe there's a gray area they won't lay for me?
Yeah, and this is at the heat of, you know, the movement and everything else. So like to... You know, we were like, it's a really good name. It's a really good name. Big Trick Energy. It's funny. You know, you remember it. But they had some pushback there, but eventually they let us have it. So.
And it sounds like you're fucking around. Yeah. Like someone that calls it, that has a name like that, you know they don't take themselves seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's either about magic or skateboarding.
You know how crazy it is, though?
Or, like, or being a hooker.
That all the shows
so
are,
a documentary
are
on hookers.
Practical Jokers. Yeah. If one of those guys gets caught like in a Me Too scandal, the network goes bankrupt.
Mm.
Right? Because they have fucking 20 hours a day that it's
or,
just...
Yeah, or they play with it. They go, no, that was an episode that never aired.
He was we there. Got her. We pranked her.
I dared him to finger her. Your Honor, it's a prank.
There's a camera here.
Yeah, they have to refilm the guys going, okay, tell her to shut up.
Yeah, the pickup shots.
Slap her. You want the points, right? Slap her. You're going to win this round.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that would be fucking hilarious. I don't think any of them is going to get caught up. I think one guy quit though.
One guy
quit the show.
Yeah, who was it? Was it
the Italian guy with the Joe?
Joe, yeah, Joe Gatto.
Yeah, I don't know why he quit though.
For a while. Or
no, I think he's done. Already quit.
Yeah, and so they really smart what they did though. They replaced the fourth guy with a special guest now, so they got like fucking Wiz Khalifa or whatever it is.
All the time,
people. No, just like just switching.
I like that.
Celebrities in and out, which is kind of nice. It's a good
That's
format.
Fucking smart, yeah. But he quit, I think, because he made a lot of money. He wants to live with his family. He just wants to do that.
Yeah, those guys are filthy rich.
Yeah. And I think he's, like, some of them do stand-up, but he didn't do anything else.
Yeah, no.
So if he's got, like, $48 million.
Yeah. You're done.
You're good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a tour for a long time, and they were crushing on that
they
tour.
They do that cruise ship, too.
Yep.
Every year.
Yeah.
Would you do a cruise ship?
No.
Feels weird.
Because I've been offered cruise ships. The reason why I wouldn't do it, let's say the show goes well After the show, it's fun because you're with people who like the show.
But then I can't leave.
Then the next day, you're still with those people and they're still talking about the fucking show. And then 7 days later, you want to kill them. And if the show goes bad, it's worse. Then you're stuck in your room for the whole week.
That's very true.
You're fucking unfunny guy at the buffet.
At the bar by yourself. Just leave me alone.
Yeah. You made my wife cry.
My buddy Wes did a, he used to do cruise ships and he had the worst experience on a cruise ship. So he's doing Comedy Magic. And the average age of the audience was like 70. It was like, you know, an old person's cruise ship thing.
Oh, they believe he's a warlock.
And they started filing out of the room during his set, right? Because he gets pretty vulgar. It's a Comedy Magic show. And they were just, they couldn't get out fast enough. They were trying to like funnel, but they're so slow. So they're slowly going towards the exit. And then, and except the, there was like a couple people in front, but they all had like oxygen masks and they weren't going anywhere. Christ. So he was just like performing to them the whole time.
He's
like,
this is a cruise to hell. Where were they at?
It's a final stop.
What the hell? Poor guy, dude.
A couple of years ago in Quebec, there was they wanted to do a thing for French Canadian TV of comics on a cruise ship. And they booked a cruise ship, but they couldn't book the main room at night. So they did the shows in the afternoon. Ooh. So then the audience, you'd tell them, look, we're at the port in the Bahamas. So you can go on the beach in the Bahamas for the day, or you can watch comics in the afternoon in a fucking weird little theater. Yeah. So they did shows like in a big theater, like a 1,000-seater in front of like 20 people.
Yeah.
That were only there because they couldn't leave the ship because they were disabled.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, how fucked up are those 20 people to stick around, right?
And I remember they hadn't booked me for that. And at first I was insulted because this was years ago and I needed the money. And then when I saw it on TV, I was like, I'm so fucking blessed. Like, I started believing in God. Just
the universe looked out for you.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I wouldn't do a cruise either just because I don't like being stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
What if I want to leave
you
for any reason?
You don't do corporates, right?
No, I haven't done a corporate in a year before the pandemic started.
Okay.
Since then, yeah.
Do you still do corporates?
I've not done a corporate in about 2 years as well. Yeah, 2-3 maybe. Yeah. I used to do a lot. It used to be like pretty much my bread and butter. And then just YouTube, you know, got taken over. Keep doing that. We're grinding. We got, you know, the channels, the podcast,
live
shows.
Yeah, you have 6 million subscribers, right?
That's absurd, bro.
Yeah, it is absurd.
That's the beauty of YouTube, though, when you hit those numbers. Like, I'm not even close to those numbers. But you can say no to all the shit.
That's right.
That you, like, corporates, I'm sure when you were doing them, you're like, no, I kind of like this. And then when you're getting the YouTube money, you're like, fuck the corporates. Yeah.
It's I was telling Wes this, like, because we're doing like a live comedy podcast sort of magic tour in Canada in the next couple weeks. And I'm looking forward to that. And it's almost come full circle because Wes is like, why don't you do more shows? You know, should be out doing more shows. I'm like, I've got to the point where like you usually work to get to the point where I am.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, why would I go back there? It's almost it almost feels weird to have, you know, a movie star go back and do theater or something. It's just like you're done with that part. But again, there's nothing like it, right? There's nothing like being on stage. And
where are you guys going to be? Vancouver?
We're doing Victoria, Calgary, Victoria, Vancouver, and then Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Toronto, and then Montreal. I'll come back to Montreal. Yeah.
Oh, that's gonna be
what room are you doing in Montreal?
We haven't decided yet. We have a few venues that are interested during Just for Laughs and stuff.
Okay.
And so we're looking at that, but yeah, no venues yet. Nothing booked.
Okay.
Oh, you tell me if you're still looking for venues.
Yeah, sure.
I know a lot of good venues around here.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Will do.
They're all gay bars. So.
Yeah, they're all gay bars.
They react the best to magic. I don't know if you know this.
Do gay guys
gay's the new black.
With magic,
really? Oh, 100%. I used to sell magic tricks, right, which is fucking weird.
How do you
itself.
Sell a magic trick?
I was working for a company. I was in charge of their social media, and they were like the biggest online magic retailer. And so we were just a bunch of us who would just come up with magic tricks, package them, and sell them to other magicians who want to practice. So we'd have to go film these projects. Went down to Sacramento to this sort of beer garden, but it was like a gay bar. And, dude, I was like in heaven because they were jumping the fences. They were calling me a vampire. They were screaming. They were like pulling at each other, you know.
It's amazing.
Trying to suck my dick. It was
good. So fucking, they're so magical.
Never got that reaction before.
There's a lot of weirdos in comedy. Like on the open mics and even some professional comedians, you can't help it. We're 95% fucked up. Mm-hmm. Do you have like the kind of weirdos that are in magic and like they'll watch Harry
Magician
Potter and they'll be like,
weirdos,
stop appropriating my
I
culture.
I think are weirder than comedy weirdos.
Right? You have a lot of that?
Oh, they're strange. They're more strange.
Yeah.
They're, there's like a real sort of pedo vibe with like old magicians. Like you go to conventions, dude. It's where I met like my close friends, the guys who are on the show, because you find your tribe real quickly when you're in a room full of people you hate, right?
Yeah.
And so we're there at the bar, and these guys are like, just like they got, you know, playing card ties and like, you know, just like weird hats and like wearing purple and green and shit. It's just a weird vibe.
Why are you dressed like the Joker?
And yeah, exactly. And they're doing magic surrounded by like impressionable children and shit. It's very sketchy. You know?
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's not a great vibe. Like
do they pull rabbits out of hats?
They pull children out of out of their hotel rooms.
They pull dicks out of children.
It's sketchy. It's sketchy.
Who's that knocking on the door? Yeah.
Is this your dick?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, because like magic is one of those things where it's like it starts introverted, right? You're in your room for hours, dude, by yourself practicing. And then
why is that magician dressed like the Pope? Yeah. That is the Pope.
He's a great magician. He's a sorcerer supreme.
Holy fuck, yeah, a lot of weirdos with top hats.
It's very bizarre, yeah. But like again, it's like they found their thing that makes them special. Because other than that, you take that away from them and they're just like, what's left, right?
They can't even talk.
They can't communicate or anything. And that's one of the reasons why I don't hang out with a lot of magicians. Because it's like, hey, put the cards away. Stop showing me tricks. Let's just talk and hang out and have a good time.
While you're hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Chris, have you seen this? You're like, nonstop. Dude, come on.
Nonstop.
Especially like doing a magic trick to another magician.
Yeah.
Like you're going to see everything coming, right?
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's like a guy like you're chatting with who's just constantly doing bits.
Yeah,
that happens. Yeah. There's also the best is comics that ask you. They go, can I run something by you? Can I run something by you? And it's been 40 minutes. Let's have a conversation.
I had a guy in the old days at the Comedy Works that's all he did was he'd do bits. When he wouldn't talk to people, he'd just do bits. And one time I was talking to someone and he was listening and he was like, that's not a good bit. And I was like, it's not a bit. I'm saying how my
I have cancer. Yeah. I have cancer. There's no punchline.
Yeah. I have 7 months to live.
Yeah, there's the weirdos are in every kind of art
see them,
form.
Like if
but you guys have the
if you're
up
doing
ones.
Your show this summer just for laughs, if you want to see the biggest weirdos in the world, it's the Just for Laughs, the VIP bar or whatever at 2 a.m. It's all the people that are there hoping to sign a major deal.
Oh,
like they've heard that they used to give like 300,000. Like development deals that don't exist
that
anymore.
Don't exist. Oh, wow.
So they're just there, kind of trying all sucking
so sad.
Dick. Yeah.
But the best is the people that aren't part of the festival. They just show up and they're dressed up right? I need a deal. Yeah.
Can you guys? Because I can do this with magicians. Can you tell when someone's a comedian? You walk into a bar and be like by their what they're wearing.
Yeah.
How they're.
Oh, you know what's fucked up? One thing I noticed, I did shows one time in Holland, and I was at a bar, and everyone was speaking Dutch, and I could tell who was a hack and who wasn't.
In Dutch?
Just by seeing how they were on stage. Yeah. I was like, I'd look like a weirdo because I'd go see him after and I'd be like, I think you're really good. That guy looked like shit though. And then they'd be like, yeah, he's really bad. I was like, no. And even though the guy was getting big laughs, like he was making funny faces.
But you could tell.
Yeah.
It's something about the cadence and my buddy Eric, who's on the show as well. He's fucking craziest guy I know. Like, honestly, the biggest liability for any TV network, I'll tell you that. But he's also like the best kids magician.
Okay.
Which is hilarious. Like, he loves performing for kids. He loves his shit, but he's funny. He's the only kids magician I can watch because he makes me laugh. It's kind of like a Shrek movie.
Oh, he can make
laugh.
The adults laugh. Yeah.
Exactly. But he was doing a show in Quebec City, and Wes was there. He's my buddy from Vancouver, doesn't speak a word of French, and Wes is just sitting there watching him, and the same thing. He said the same thing. He's like, dude, he killed it, right? Like, he's good. He understood nothing of what he was saying.
But he could tell.
You could tell he was good.
It's almost like music.
Mm. Yeah.
When you listen, like, when you see, like, for me, when I listen to a stand-up in another language, like, just the cadence, you can tell, okay, this guy sucks, or this guy's good.
This weekend, one of my friends started it again. He left stand-up for a while, and he got back into it. I was at one of the shows. And that's the one thing I noticed, like, his style was outdated. It was very, like, I was listening without watching, and I'm like, I gotta talk to him. Yeah. It was very much like, what's the deal with? And I was like, it feels like you're forcing
me. Is your friend Seinfeld?
Yeah, almost, right? He wishes.
That's what's weird about Seinfeld, because,
Like, he started that trend.
I saw Seinfeld like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was the worst show I'd ever seen in my life. Because every shitty comic is a bad version of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So if no one had imitated Seinfeld, I would have seen him and I would have been like, this guy's a fucking genius.
Himself.
Yeah, but he was so good at what he did that everyone that sucked tried to be him.
Yeah. What's up with airplane food? Yeah. Like that, all this.
It's always weird when you, I don't like the cadence when you come in and you, it doesn't feel like you're a natural person speaking.
Nah.
To me, that defeats the purpose of stand-up. Yeah. You should feel like you're in the room telling stories together. The second, like, sir, let me take a look at that watch. And even magicians don't do that.
That sounds like a magician.
But good magicians aren't going to do that. Good magicians, they can feel relaxed. There's going to be charisma.
Yep.
But the second it feels like you're trying to sell me a car, I'm out.
Yeah, there's something about in magic. We talk. I talk about a lot about lying to the audience. So the thing is, you can't lie. You have to be honest. And if you're creating a fiction, like let's say in comedy, and you're creating a story, and you're that character, if you're true to your fiction, you're fine. But the second you step outside of it, the second you're like trying to like do some crowd work at the same time as you're telling a story, whatever, the bubble gets popped, right?
Yeah.
And they'll call you out on it. It feels like you're lying now.
Yeah.
And so you always, you got to either stay true to your fiction or just like, just be completely yourself the entire time.
Is it the same?
So much easier to be yourself.
There's something that I really like when I see comics that are horrible. There's something enjoyable about watching, like going to an open mic. Like I won't watch
Kill Tony or.
Yeah. I won't watch like kind of bad comics, but really bad comics are the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I at first I couldn't. Because it was like the cringe factor. Okay. When you watch it, you're like, oh.
It's like a Curb episode.
But after a while, like, it gets better. I feel like it's fun to watch because also, fuck you for going up there with shit material.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so you can laugh at it now. You put yourself in that position.
I had a magician once open for me, and he was really bad. And his closing thing.
Should we call him back?
Thing,
was it Vince?
The rabbit was dead.
It'd be amazing if it was Vince. But, no, it was a guy, and his ending was his ears would light up. Oh. And the way he'd activate it was he hooked something under his arm. So, but he's talking and he hooks a thing.
By accident?
Then, yeah, by accident. So he's talking and his lights are just going red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, red, blue. And then at the end, I'm like, oh, fuck, I think that was probably his big finish. At the end, you see him do a...
And then nothing.
And then he just looks at people. And it was the best.
He didn't even have to go that hard.
Yeah, no, it was the best. It was so
he had
funny.
No idea they were blinking.
No, he had no idea. But it was so funny. It was amazing.
The greatest magician ever.
Yeah, the greatest magician ever.
He's got LED lights in the back.
Yeah, he was trying to connect with the audience, tell him a deep story, and he's just fucking looking like a,
like an idiot.
Like a cop car.
It's like, I don't understand. Are we supposed to be paying attention to the story or this fucker's ears?
Yeah.
Do you have magicians that have rivalries with other magicians?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's a lot of bullshit beef in sort of the closed mat. Like, just like comedy, you stole my joke type thing. Like,
okay,
there's a lot of that.
Trick.
Yeah, with tricks.
Because tricks, you guys, you sit down and you develop these illusions yourself.
Yep, but they're based on hundreds and hundreds of years of, you know, trickery. So it's like hard to find the, you know, where that originated from. But some of them are just really obvious. And you'll have people repackage them and sell them. Or thing is, with magic, it doesn't matter if you use someone else's shit in your show, as long as you change, you know, the pattern or whatever, which is weird to me. It's always been weird to me. It's never quite as original. But yeah, people get away with stealing shit all the time. Like, so there's a lot of...
Well, do you have less respect for people like Chris Angel?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Because magicians, from what I hear, they don't like Chris Angel. Is he not doing the same thing you're doing, or is it just because of the lisp?
It's a bit of both, honestly. A bit of A, a bit of B. He's, you know what? He got a lot of people into magic, so I respect him for that. And, like, he's, you know, brought a lot
of attention. He got a lot of people
attention.
Into magic.
Yeah. you know, but I think what magicians have a problem with him is that there's a lot of stooging, a lot of fake reactions, and you can find that out real quick when you rip somebody in half in a park and the person's freaking out that they themselves are ripped in half, you know.
But he
is the mind freak, sir.
It's kind of over the top. Yeah. And that used to work, though. People used to lose their minds. Like, there depends on the audience you show it to. You go to New York and have a show you know, versus you go down to like Alabama or something like that, you're going to get a wildly different reaction to magic.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, some people, they'll be like, this is Satan worshiping. This is crazy. They're
throwing holy water at you.
Yeah, and that shit wouldn't work in New York because, you know, people are a little more intellectual and they're trying to critique and study.
Someone's mugging you.
Yeah, also. So, like, not to shit on Alabama, but also.
Alabama, do you still get that from other magicians that travel down? Do you still get like, oh, dude, I almost got beat up or ran out of town because these fucking idiots think that I'm a witch doctor?
No, never that bad. But I have some stories like of my friends going to Haiti and down south as well.
Oh, how did Haiti go?
Haiti's a wild place. Crazy. Yeah, it's a wild place because voodoo is kind of like real over there.
Yeah.
But my friend went to South America, Wayne Houchin. And on live TV, this is fucked up. You can check out the clip. This is messed up.
Pull it up.
Wayne Houchin. So
Houchin. Houchin.
And type a burning or burned.
Uh-oh.
And basically, he went on live TV, and this guy right before, I guess the host or whatever, he's like, hey, this is like a tradition. It's just like holy water or whatever, water. We just kind of like splash the performer with it. And he's like, oh, cool. And he splashed, and it was like lighter fluid. And he set him on fire on live TV.
Why did he do that to him?
Because he thought he was a witch. He was a magician.
God damn. They were actually trying to set him on fire.
Here's what's fucked up. He went to court, right, to like sue this guy, whatever. The judge is like, no.
He's like,
you come to our country, you got to respect our culture.
God damn.
Our culture is setting people on fire.
They're basically don't fuck with their religion type thing and their beliefs. And like because he does a lot of like fucked up shit.
Only booked him. Was he already in the country? I think he flew him down.
I can't be sure.
Set him on fire.
God damn.
Well, just warning. Some viewers may find this disturbing. Others hysterical.
Which channel is it from? Should I unmute it?
Why does the set look like a porta potty?
Put the volume low on the YouTube so that we don't get flagged. Because I want people to see it.
Yeah.
Or just play the video. I don't think we need that much volume.
What?
See,
that's insane.
Yeah, and it even says TV prank, which it isn't. It's not a prank.
It's not a prank. They tried to kill a guy.
He had third degree burns.
How did he set him on fire? He just put the fluid and then lit it?
Yeah, it looks like he just dropped the fire on his head or some shit.
But where was the fire?
In his hand, like in the...
Oh, that son of a bitch.
God damn.
What a loser.
Yeah.
What Jesus a loser.
Christ. Yeah, so shit like this, I mean, obviously still happens. But if you travel to like...
What country those countries, is this?
I think it's in South America. I can't be exactly sure. Maybe like Costa Rica or something.
Costa Rica, really?
I don't know. Yeah.
I thought they were more advanced. No.
Oh, fuck. Poor guy, bro.
The guy who set him on fire is still there, dude. He's still there. He's like, ah, take that.
Get that off the screen, Poseidon. It's too long. They're going to flag us.
Yeah.
Okay.
God damn, what a bunch of assholes.
It's fucked up, right?
Yeah, and I can't believe he sued and lost.
Yeah. So those are the hecklers that we get.
That's crazy.
God damn.
They'll fucking light you on fire.
It's worse than Will Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, Haiti. Have you ever been to Haiti?
No. No, because
that must be crazy. And
yeah,
whenever
David Blaine had
country,
some tricks there. He was doing some stuff there.
Oh, fuck. Oh, what was it? Did he build homes?
No.
Just not actually give
no,
him
never
a...
did that. No.
just... Did he promise homes? Did he pull a Clinton?
No.
Did he make all just... the funds disappear?
Can't talk about that. yeah, he was just out there doing stuff with like twigs and leaves and stuff like that. But they were losing their mind. And again, he was warned.
But they were having fun. They didn't know what.
Yeah, but
them.
He was also warned. He was warned by a lot of people. Hey, careful with this shit. Don't go too far. Like, know your limits. You know.
Have you met a legit magician that actually thinks he's tapped into the dark arts? You ever met that person?
No, I think ego, there's a lot of ego in magic, probably a lot in comedy and a lot of art.
So they don't
want to
blame the dark arts. They want to take credit for it.
They'll tell everybody else, and that's what's fucked up. They'll tell people that, you know, oh, I was born with it, or like all this bullshit.
Like I'm
right?
magical?
Yeah. Like,
really?
Because like I've had,
there's a tingle
I have friends
fingers.
Who are really good, dude. I have friends who can legit, like I've seen them walk into a casino, walk out with $30,000 under 5 minutes because they hypnotize a dealer. You know what I mean?
Are you serious? They
can
hypnotize
absolutely.
People?
Yo. Absolutely.
Yo, can I be friends with
wild.
Them?
Wild.
Can I be friends
caught
with them?
Caught on video, too. Yeah, for a project. He got stopped on the way out. The cops got him, and they were going to arrest him for theft by deception, is what they called it. But yeah,
he
hypnotized it. So he saw the dealer outside having
a smoke. He
should just
get fired for being stupid. He got hypnotized. How's that my fault?
Yeah. And so it's easy for people to be like, you know, the difference between me and him when I perform, like people would be like, oh, wow, how long have you been doing this for, right? And for him, it's... How long have you known that you had this ability?
This gift.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the sort of, and then people run with it.
How does the hypnotizer do that work? I don't get it. Like he uses one of these fucking watches.
It's just all words and body language. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
I want to meet this dude.
I have a friend that's a hypnotist. And
I don't believe
said,
he's just tired all the time.
No, but he's like, last time I talked to him, I was like, okay, he's gone crazy. He said now he could hypnotize people that weren't in the same room as him that are across the street.
Hmm.
And I was like.
Like psychic energy?
Yeah, he was like, you see those people in the restaurant over there? If I look at them, I can hypnotize them. And I was like, you can't do that.
You've lost your mind,
You've
Steve.
Lost your mind, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Did you do it?
No. But he said he could.
Oh, that's bullshit.
And I was like, no, you can't.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, in front of you when you could just test it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, so do it. Nah. I'm not going to waste my energy.
Yeah. It might take 8 hours, but he'll fall asleep.
Yeah. At some point, this guy's going home. He's going to eat.
He's
not hungry now, but he will.
See that guy in the restaurant? He's going to order food.
Yeah.
He's going to eat. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's doing this.
Yeah.
He walks up to the automatic doors. He goes,
yeah. I got a friend of mine, Spidey, who's a hypnotist.
Oh,
I know
Spidey from the Guzzo commercials.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a reference of mine. I used to always joke because of his name.
Yeah.
Because I was a commercial. I go, fucking Guzzo, but they don't want to start the movie. I need Spidey to fucking do card tricks.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice dude.
He's super nice. I had him on my podcast. It'll be on like next week or whatever. But he started doing behavioral arts.
Okay.
Like reading body language. And he put up a video of him looking at the whole Chris Rock, Will Smith thing. Got 14 million views and shot up. Like one got like 300,000 followers off it. So he
Did
started
he claim
a whole
that
new
one
career.
Of them was magical?
No, he was looking at like the is it real or is it not? And he proved that it, you know, obviously it was real, which I don't, which
but
seemed
look,
real to me.
I had doubts in the beginning too. Just my doubts left when Will started swearing.
Man.
I was like, yeah, I don't think they'd let that happen.
Yeah, the Fresh Prince knows not to swear.
Not
on
to
TV.
Swear. Yeah. But wasn't Spidey also on Penn Jillette's show?
Yeah, he did Penn and Teller Fool Us.
I remember that, yeah, because he was representing us over here, basically. He was representing Montreal.
He's a great dude.
I think he fooled them.
He didn't fool them.
He did not.
No, I repeat, he did not fool them. Spidey,
did anyone
if you're listening.
Fool these sons of bitches? I don't know.
Yeah, Wes, my buddy Wes, and my buddy Eric, so two guys that were on my TV show. Yeah,
they fooled them.
That's why we didn't choose Spidey. Because he didn't fool them. Yeah, he didn't pass the test.
Son of a bitch. Poor Spidey.
Poor guy. Yeah, he's great. He does a lot of like hypnosis stuff too. And one of his viral videos is he hypnotized a cop to get out of a ticket.
But that was fake?
Nope. This is real. He tried it like 3 times that day and he got 3 tickets. And then the last time he tried it was on this guy and it worked.
Speeding?
Running a stop.
Because you don't lose points for that?
No, you lose points.
Oh, he was risking a lot.
Yeah, he was risking it all, yeah. It went viral, too. It's a crazy thing, because he kind of just confuses him, and he's like, you know, sometimes when you forget to remember and remember to forget, and the guy's like, huh, yeah. He's like, yeah. So anyways, can you tell me where the store is? I'm really trying to get the store. He's like, yeah, but guy, he's like, you ran the stop. He's like, I know, we'll get back to that in a second, but you know how sometimes you just forget things? Anyways, can we just, I'm trying to get over here, and the guy's like, yeah, turn left, go right. He's like, thank you, and you have a great day, and you're just going to let me go. And he's like, all right, have a great day. And he's just stood there bewildered, and he just takes off. Yeah,
dude, we gotta change whatever entry exams we have.
So it was a cop in Terrebonne, and they actually came out saying that it was fake because it made them look bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know Spidey wasn't fake. This shit was real.
Oh, we do it again this time, but the hypnotist has to be black. Yeah. See how that goes. See how that ends up. Yeah. So they didn't want people to know that they were susceptible.
Yeah, they said it was a training exercise. Which is a wild training exercise if I ever saw one.
Yeah, we paid the guy to train you.
Yeah,
we paid the hypnotist to hypnotize you.
Like, okay.
That's so ludicrous.
Yeah.
What a dumb lie.
Yeah.
But he had to go with it because he's got his O-1 visa and he didn't want to like fuck with the cops.
Yeah, you don't want to have a criminal record.
Yeah, so or just even anything, right? They take that shit away if you're touring in the States. So
he does hypnosis. I remember he was doing all those card tricks to unsuspecting people
hypnosis,
at the movie theater.
He does magic. And now mainly, he's been focused on this behavioral science.
This is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I saw. Did you see the thing of Will Smith doing stand-up?
No, I enjoy
there's
my free time.
There's
I'm going to waste it.
But there's a video on on YouTube. You see him go, he opens for Dave Chappelle.
Oh, wow.
Recently?
Probably a year ago.
Okay.
And there's something weird. You see, like, Will Smith seems pathetic when you see him like in real life. He's had such a fucking amazing career.
Yep.
But his life just seems like shit.
Yeah.
And then you see him like he starts doing stand up on stage and his wife is in the audience and he realizes she's in the audience and she's laughing too loud. And he's like, oh, my wife is here. It's the weirdest fucking.
You made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does make you uncomfortable to watch him like in her.
He's so pathetic. That's the best word for it. And it makes you feel, because you're like, I shouldn't feel bad for him. The guy has the world, and at the same time, he has nothing.
Yeah, it's hard beta energy.
Yeah, that's what, it's, isn't that weird? You accomplished all your dreams, at the same time, you're in a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's what Will Smith lives.
He's got the worst, best life possible.
Yeah. That's such a strange thing. What that's and that of all the things
to
slap
someone on stage for, eh? Just like a joke like that, too, is super G.I. Jane wild. Thing. Like,
that you were laughing at?
Because you would think like if you it would have done some August material, he could have done some material on who she was fucking or whatever. Could have gone down the cancer road. Like obviously anything. He knew all this. He's a pro. And so
half this room banged your wife. He could have went that route.
It's wild that it's just that one thing that triggered him. That was the drop that overflowed the bucket.
The best is the angles, right? When he's like, ah, and then he looks at her, he's like,
He's like a sleeper cell, though. Like the government's got him.
Candidate. Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe we're gonna find out Jada is a hypnotist. She's like, you're gonna go hit him, and you're gonna be happy about it.
You know, sometimes when you go hit a comedian, you know, right? And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, right.
Have you ever tried the hypnosis stuff?
Yeah.
Are you good at it?
I haven't tried it so much that I wanted to be good at it, but it's worked for me. Yeah.
Do you have to find someone with a simple mind?
No. Yes and no. It's not about if you want it to happen, it'll happen to you type thing. It's just like it's almost like your brain goes on autopilot. It's not really like you're not there. Your brain's kind of like, hold on, you're giving me information. Keep going. I'm going to look back here and try to figure out what's going on.
Oh, like you're overloading the brain.
Well, it's kind of like on autopilot, and I trust you to take care of it. And so you're just kind of listening and doing what this person says while you're trying to figure things out. So I've done it in bars where I've had people, you know, stick their feet to the ground or forget the number three and, you know, that type of thing. And
forget the number three.
Yeah, you make them count. You're like, go ahead, count. They're like 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. I'm like, okay, use your fingers. And they're like 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. And they're like, wait, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. Like, hold on. And they start freaking out, right? And their girlfriends or whatever side like, oh my God,
I'm dating an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
They start panicking. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It seems so absurd to me.
It is absurd. It is absurd because it's they're kind of going along with it is what it is. And it's a weird thing to say, but it's exactly what it is. There's no real magic, you know, hocus pocus or anything to it. It's just they're going along with it and they feel like it's their decision. And it's just, that's it. It's, you know, to.
Yeah. So do you think rapists should learn some tricks to hypnotize? Would that reduce the amount of court cases?
Have you ever heard of a hypnotist rapist?
I haven't. I like where you're going with this.
Yo.
I like where you're going with this.
I see what's going on.
They've cornered that game.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Never convicted.
You will sleep with me.
Yeah. I think you raped me. I think not. Yeah. Wow, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. How did you get into...
this isn't the rapist you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Pulls a Jedi mind. How did you get into the puzzles?
I think it's adjacent to magic, where like I like to know how things work. So I like to study methods. I like to figure out what makes people tick, how they react to certain things. And so when there's a puzzle, it's like, hey, it's okay to figure out how this works.
Do you take shit that you learn? You're like, oh, that's how that worked. Let me see if I could use that in a new magic trick.
Not really, but sometimes they'll use magic techniques or science techniques or like that type of thing and incorporate it into a puzzle, which is interesting.
I like that whole world. I like the I'm showing you this thing, but I've built something else behind this.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's because it's like us. We're setting you up for the punchline. Mm. So I really like that kind of shit.
Yeah, it's interesting that an ordinary object can be, you know, fucking wild. And that's what got me into it. I saw a lock puzzle, and it was just a lock. And I was like, what's this? And my buddy's like, oh, it's a puzzle. I was like, it's a lock. And he's like, no, it's a puzzle. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me, what you just said. And then he sent it to me. It took me like 4 or 5 hours to like figure this puzzle out. And it just sent me down a rabbit hole. But yeah, so it's one of those things, just mechanisms and like gears and just understanding how things work is a lot of fun.
And are you born here? I heard you're from Norway.
No, Germany. Born in Germany. Yeah, originally born in Germany. Moved around quite a bit. Lived in the Maritimes, lived in Ontario.
You have Canadian and German citizenship or nope, just Canadian?
Just Canadian.
Because your dad is a military?
Because they stopped doing, so when I was basically, I would have either had to choose one or the other at the time, because you had to do 2 years in the army in Germany or whatever.
Okay.
But then they, and so I renounced my German citizenship to be Canadian.
Why would you do that? They seem like a very tolerant bunch.
Yeah. They have a really interesting army. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Exactly.
But yeah.
They dress well.
They dress, they do. Yeah. So then I renounced that. So, but now they've taken that away.
What city were you born in?
I was born in Südbaden, so it's like close to the Rhine. It's a small town called Habelsheim. It's a very small town.
Do you speak German?
Yeah.
Or? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like fluent?
Yeah, pretty fluent. Like I get by. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever done shows in German?
No, never. No, not that good enough. Like okay. I could do it in French, not a problem. English, that's fine. But German's like a little rusty. And I have like because I moved away from Germany at such a young age, like my vocabulary and everything stops. I sound like a giant child.
A really smart 7-year-old.
Yeah. How are they? Are they into magical stuff? The Germans, they seem very dry.
Apparently they are, but they are dry as well, yeah.
So can you tell if they like stuff? Like I said, if you're a comedian or magician, could you tell that like fucking Hans is enjoying himself or no?
Yeah, so that's the one thing that I've wondered myself, right? And I hit up some friends of mine in Germany because I was like, how's even the comedy scene over there? You know, comedy thrives on when you're not allowed to go somewhere, you go there. Yeah. And obviously, you know, the elephant in the room
is
over
Hitler,
there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I did shows in Berlin.
Yeah.
And they were really fun.
Did you talk about Hitler?
I think I did do one joke, but when it was in a basement and you walk down the stairs and at the bottom of the stairs, there was a little baby with a Hitler mustache being hung from the ceiling. Right. So they knew that comics were going
to
come.
It's kind of a hacky. Bunker. It feels like a hack thing to like bring up. Like I've heard like every.
You guys ever heard about this Adolf character?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Well, my buddy goes there. And he went to Berlin for the first time in October, and he sits down. He orders a beer, and the waiter goes up to him and he goes, "Have you heard about our German purity laws?"
That's funny.
And he goes, "You need to find a better name. Like I don't know." He's like, "No, for the beer. Like because they have to." And he's like, wow. He's like,
I thought the bartender was joking.
Yeah, no. They have German purity laws for their beer since 1500s that they're not allowed to add chemicals into their beer, but they call it the German purity law, which is wild to me.
Yeah,
he
should just say, we have really good beer.
Yeah.
Not like the Jews.
Have you heard of our purity law? It's like, I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Gives you a pamphlet.
Yeah, holy shit. Yeah, I would imagine because they're dry, because part of what we do is I want to feel the crowd. Like, am I going in the right direction? There's crowds already here. You have these older people sometimes that they're just very dry, but they like it. Imagine a whole room of people that are enjoying the show, but will not tell you externally.
Yeah.
That must be weird.
Like a bunch of mutes.
Mm. Or Germans.
Or Germans.
I know like the biggest comic in Germany does like rooms.
Arenas?
That are, like big, like the Bell Center.
Oh, wow.
And they go crazy?
And they go crazy.
So they must have a sense. Yeah. They must like to
laugh. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I think
the countries that are the hardest are countries like Asian countries where people laugh like this.
Oh, yeah.
Those are weird.
Yeah.
And masked up. Yeah, those might be harder to laugh, but.
Also, the comedy is probably so backwards and different. Like, you watch those, like, Japanese game shows and shit.
Yeah. Oh, the Japanese are on another level.
They're wild.
That's another planet.
Yeah.
So that's what people have told me. They go, that's the one place you have to figure out how to get there to visit.
Yeah.
It's the only place on the planet in the civilized world, let's say, that you'll feel like, oh, I took a spaceship here.
This is I'm on very a different planet. Yeah.
Completely different. Other places, they're very similar.
Yeah.
You know, in the first world, let's say.
Yeah, but it's all a facade, right? They're all like super formal on the outside and they fucking get, tied up.
Oh, the Japanese?
After
the
hours.
Japanese go crazy.
Yeah, they love that shit.
They got vending machines with used panties beside them. Was that the thing?
Yep. Used panties, all kinds of
weird
shit.
Tentacle porn.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah.
People fucking stabbing themselves with samurai swords because they brought shame to their households. Yeah. A lot of weird traditions.
Yeah, they should.
Suicide forest.
Yeah.
A forest.
That's true.
Yeah, depressing forest that almost got Logan Paul taken off the internet.
Isn't that from Harry Potter?
Well, Suicide Forest, it might be.
No? Okay.
But they had that Suicide Forest.
Yeah, the first time I heard about Logan Paul was because of that.
Me too.
Yeah. A lot of people, It is the best thing to ever happen to him, I think.
Yeah, and he didn't know at the time. Yeah,
that guy hanging himself is the best thing to ever happen to Logan.
Isn't it crazy? Someone actually had to tell him, look, I know people are shitting on you now. You're mad.
Yeah.
But that dead body is the best thing that ever happened to you. Like, what are you talking about?
Kim Kardashian had the sex tape. He had a Japanese guy hanging himself.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
It's, that's what we live in today, man. If if the joke outweighs the crime, you know, you're kind of in the clear.
In his defense, you know, which is a weird thing to say, in his defense, I don't think that's something you could think about and expect. Like, you know, when you go in there, you hear rumors, you never assume I'm going to find, like, when we go under a bridge or wherever there's heroin addicts, you never assume I'm going to find a dead guy. Yeah, you can only hope. You're like, I wonder how lucky I am, but you can't fathom that it would happen.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, he was wearing that green hat.
Yeah, what the fuck, eh? What a choice.
The fact that there are like three people, I would have fucking lost my shit seeing a guy like
that. It's wild that that went around the world, though. Yeah. That, like, that's the thing. That was as big as the slap.
Yeah.
When that
I
came
think,
out.
Though, what people like in Europe and everywhere in the world that isn't America, they like that because it shows a dumb American.
It shows America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's like the stereotype.
Yeah. Look at this fucking dummy.
Yeah.
He's a dummy wearing a
it's exactly
hat.
What we thought.
Yeah. And a suicide force shocks
yeah.
him.
Yeah. They think, yeah, he thinks we're weird.
Yeah. yeah. This weirdo thinks we're backwards. God damn it. That's fucking, do you get to, because of the magic, do you get to go to international places where they don't need to speak English? They just want to see your tricks?
Yeah. I mean, magic's a great way of doing that, where you could just pull up with a deck of cards, you know, and people understand what you're doing, which is kind of cool. So
my next
yeah.
question is Japan. You ever been to Japan?
Nope, but I've been wanting to. I learned a little bit of Japanese and starting to learn it a little bit and want to go down there because there's a lot of things I'd like to visit.
We're going to have to organize a mega show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Magic and comedy and
let's
podcasting.
Go. Yeah.
That's the best excuse.
And 1,000%. It ends in a suicide forest.
Yeah.
yeah. We do the show in the forest.
In the forest. Yeah.
yeah. The audience just hanging out, you know.
Surprise, we're all dead. yeah, but no joke, we should think of a mega show to do. Yo. Something like, because if there's magic and there's comedy, you have expats that understand. They could do the comedy part.
Yeah.
Then you have everyone who wants to watch magic. These are magical people, the Japanese.
Yeah.
And we're international. Podcasting?
Yeah.
I'm down with this.
Yeah. So comedy magic's fun. Comedy magic is a whole different thing, but it's almost like a crutch because you can always rely on the magic if your joke doesn't hit. But if you're aware of that, like it's fun to navigate.
I have a friend who's a comedian, Ivan Paysel. He does juggling. He juggles all kinds of shit while he's doing stand-up.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking wild to see.
Yeah, because like even if it's the joke shit, you're like, oh, fuck, that's cool.
But you're like, how are you doing that?
Exactly.
Like, I can understand you just juggling small items, but then you're doing big items and watermelons and you're cutting shit and you're telling jokes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of practice.
Yeah,
all definitely. You do is practice.
Mm. Mm.
But those are fun shows. Those are good shows to
probably
bring
get so
girlfriend.
Much pussy from juggling as well.
Oh, dude.
Right?
This is that juggle pussy.
I have a question. How is it? How is magic with the ladies? Do they like that shit? Is it an icebreaker? Like,
yeah, I could.
Oh,
I
my, what happened to your panties?
I could teach you a trick. That's what you're looking for.
No, that's what
he's asking for.
Like, no. I was just curious.
Ask a question.
No.
I made the condom disappear.
Yeah, of course. Of course, but it's almost like not fair is what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, he just takes over the room.
Well, because I remember like when I was younger, I had a cousin who was trying to pick up chicks.
I like this story.
And he was like,
he did a magic trick. He fucked me and said, it no, never no, happened. No.
Step cousin.
He put a finger up my ass and then said, can you feel my finger? Yes. And then he did this.
Because I had a cousin when I was like a teenager. He was like, yo, learn magic. It's going to help you like pick up chicks and shit. And he was always trying to learn magic.
Just to fuck
women. And I always made fun of him. I was like, bro, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to learn magic just to fuck, bro. Like, you know.
What, did he ever learn magic?
He did, but he never succeeded in picking up with magic.
Because he wasn't good enough at magic?
Or he was using the wrong
I don't think
tricks.
That was the issue.
Let me cut
your tie in half. Yeah. I don't have a tie. Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry, Matt.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, when we're talking about weirdos in magic,
that's
one of
them. That's your
cousin. There's like pickup artists as well.
Yeah. I heard of, well, that's what he was doing. Kind, he had read a book.
Yep.
What's it called? He had read a book. I forgot the name of the book, bro. But it was a black leather with like gold pages.
Yeah,
like the tips were gold and shit. I think it's called The
you
Game.
You described the game? Every book that was printed before 1902.
It's the Bible. Yeah. There's this magician in it.
It's a magician. Hey, he walks
his
on
name
water.
Is Jesus.
Dude. Yeah.
Some Mexican magic guy.
So easy. So easy to reproduce anything Jesus did. Like in nowadays, like. Dude, walk on water, water to wine, pulling fish out of a hat or whatever he did. Like, I mean,
he turned fish into bread.
Okay.
No.
No, no, no.
Is that what he did?
It was
he turned one fish into a bunch of fish.
And then I think it rained bread or some shit. Pita bread.
It rained pita bread.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Yeah, dude, it's just the easiest thing to do nowadays.
It's also it's so like, ludicrous, bro. Like, if you think about it, like, you want it to be divine, and you're like, bro, does that seem divine to you?
I think it's bro, throw like a fucking pita at these people. Like,
it seems so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
I wonder, like, it'd be crazy if Jesus, like, at first was like, I'm going to show him this amazing magic trick. And then people were like, he's the son of God. Yeah. It was like, this is better.
Exactly.
This is better.
That's what a magician would do.
Yeah. He rolls up his sleeves like, we're going on tour.
His 12 apostles.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me hire 12 consultants to come up with the tricks. The
tour manager, what it was, bro.
But then things got murky when they put him, they killed him, they put him away, and the guys are like, dude, we got to get rid of the body. They're like, he is risen.
Serious, what do we do? What do we do? He's back on tour.
Jesus too.
It's fucking crazy. But the pickup artist, does that fall into hypnosis?
It's all that. It's the psychology, and there's a lot of magic that goes, a lot of psychology goes into magic and stuff. But it's such a weird place to be. Like, I don't like it at all. I think it's very, very scammy and feels gross.
It feels gross. It's like, it's imagine a pickup artist.
Yeah, it is.
It's date rape.
Yeah. What do you do? Yeah. I'm an artist. Really?
Yeah.
Can you show me? Yeah, hand me a pen there and a piece of paper. It's my number.
I think if you're in a room filled with people and nobody's talking, it's a great place to get people talking to each other. And I used to do that as a bartender a lot. I was like, you come over here, you're alone. Let's jam it out. It's great for that. It's great to get people going and stuff. But like it just shows you're confident, and women are attracted to confidence. So like with anything else though, if you're good at whatever it is you do, whether it's talking or magic or whatever,
exactly.
Women are attracted by confidence. They're also repulsed by repugnant smells. I've learned a lot the last couple of years about the ladies. It's the psychology, the hypnosis shit, and the fact that people use like subliminals and all that. That fucks with me when I think about it, because I still feel you have to be a bit of an idiot to fall for it.
So why does it fuck with you then?
I don't know. I don't get how it happened. Like, it's how you said, like, someone is willing. That's what I see. You want to believe. Yeah. Like, I'll see some shit. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? This is either fake or you're an idiot.
Because you can't get, you can't get hypnotized if the whole time you're just telling yourself, don't get hypnotized. Because you're not listening to the guy. Yeah. You're just thinking about, don't let him fucking control your brain.
Well, I'm listening. I wouldn't not listen, but it's just, I'm like, how can you hypnotize me?
No, but smart people get hypnotized.
You could. I'm not saying that you have to be smart, but I think you have to be stupid to get hypnotized.
You have to want to get hypnotized, basically.
Or it's little tricks.
You got to be on the fringe. Like, it's like saying, I don't believe in psychics except this one time. You know what I mean? Like those
type
of people.
You have to be right at the limit.
Yeah, you got to be at the limit where you're like, you're willing to suspend your disbelief for a second. And then that's where they get you. And that's where they rape you. That's where the hypnotists rape you. That's how it happens.
But I could understand the joke aspect of it. If he catches you quick, like let's say when you were young, like Stoop says what? You're like, what? Like that I get. Right. A little wordplay. But I can't understand.
Wait, how'd you do that? Yeah.
You're going to go murder your parents. I'm going to go murder my parents. Like that I can't. I'm like, you have to be a fucking idiot. You're a willing buffoon.
Well, you know Darren Brown? You ever heard of Darren Brown?
No, what did he do?
I've heard the name, yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's renowned for being a hypnotist, psychological sort of
legit
magician.
Or
legit. The most legit, yeah. He's had a lot of specials on like BBC, whatever, for the past like hour-long specials on TV. He's had so many. And he hypnotized someone into assassinating someone else, essentially.
Jesus. This is going. Yeah, this is my kind of hypnotist.
With like, fake, blood popping and whatever. The guy, performer, was on stage, but because he wanted to know if... like the JFK assassination, if it could have been done, somebody could be hypnotized. And he trained this guy without the guy knowing. And when a lady got up in a dress and he'd hear a ding sound, he just went like, got up, went to the bathroom, found the gun, came back, put the gun away and sat down and then woke up again. And the show carried on because the actor on stage was like pretending, got changed. Everything was good. And they showed him the footage afterwards. And this guy was like deeply traumatized.
This may be the coolest thing I've ever heard
Darren
of my
Brown,
life.
Check out. He's got so many specials like this.
This is so cool. And has this been confirmed? It was real?
It's Darren Brown. So it's like, this is the guy.
Besides, that must have fucked with that guy's brain. Mm. So, but like for months, I'd be waking up in the middle of the night going, I killed the lady because of Darren Brown.
Yeah.
That son of a whore.
Yeah, he made somebody believe there was the end of the world. He's got the Push special on Netflix, Push, where he convinces somebody to kill someone else by pushing them off a building.
God damn.
And they're all, and everybody's in on it except one guy. Yeah, he's like a mastermind.
He's just a bad person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all of his things are I'm going to teach you how to murder.
Everything you're telling me makes me love this guy.
Yeah, it's our version of Squid Games.
Really. Darren Brown, his name? Where does he live?
He's in the UK.
God damn it, I want him on the show.
I love the name of that show, Push.
Yeah, Darren Brown is incredible.
I got to find out if this is real.
Yeah.
I got to look into this deeply. It feels like it wouldn't be real, but I want it to be real.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. You'll see it.
Because I do think that you could, well, didn't they prove that with MK Ultra? That you could brainwash people, but them it was different. It was drugs, deprivation,
electroshock therapy.
Yeah, they fucked around. They made Charles Manson.
Yeah.
And the Unabomber.
Yeah.
Did you know about that shit?
Yeah, I've delved into conspiracies myself. Yeah.
They did conspire, but these are not rumors. Yeah, just documentaries about this. This is real. Even the Unabomber one, it's out now. That he was part
but
of that.
But you can make a documentary about something that's fake.
I know, but I mean, it's declassified. They're not hiding it. Yeah. The only thing that was hidden for years was Charles Manson. And then that book came out. Chaos?
Yeah, I'm still listening to it, bro.
That's a fucking good book,
it's
bro.
It's fucking wild.
The CIA was in on that shit.
And it's not even an audio book, yes. It's just going, I can hear the gold.
He's like, that's a great story.
Dude, the Charles Manson thing is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy was experimenting with a lot of drugs. But that I believe. With drugs, I believe you can fuck people's minds.
Yeah.
I have trouble believing without drugs? Without just randomly.
So I've, in the past couple of weeks, I've been learning remote viewing. As fucking wild as that sounds,
talk to us about this.
And this is for a video I'm doing in the next like 2 months. It's gonna be like a documentary thing, but I'll talk about it. It's fine. A friend of mine who's the memory champion of the United States. He's 5-time memory
Please
U.S.
Stop
memory
right
champion.
There for a second, this sounds hilarious.
Yeah, he can remember.
I remember shit, bro. I'm the champ. I'm remembering stuff.
He's that guy. He remembers like 10,000 digits of pi and shit like that.
I'm gonna say one thing right now. Why is he the winner? He's never competed against me.
Yeah, United States.
Does he have to prove?
Yep.
Like, or he just goes, "Yeah, I remember." It's do you remember that? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this guy's good.
I'm the Canadian champ.
This guy's really good, man. I tried to stump him, but he remembers it. Did you remember that one time? Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. Shit.
This is amazing. The memory. I've never heard the memory champ.
Yeah.
We're too competitive. We compete about everything.
Yeah, exactly. And there's sat
that's
room.
Something that's impressive, though. Mm. Like, there are some weird record holders that you're like, who cares? But a memory champion, that's fucking impressive.
Like, I can remember a deck of cards shuffled, right, in like 5 minutes.
Get the fuck out of here. What do you mean, where every card is?
Yeah, no problem. He can do it under a minute in a deck of cards, which is crazy. He's done it on video. I've seen him. It's insane. He has to remember like whole books sometimes, like pages.
What the fuck?
Wow. So he does this. He studies for this. And he got approached by this this group online that came up to him. We're like, hey, interesting opportunity for a memory person. If you want to partake, it's paid, whatever. He's like, cool, cool, cool.
CIA. Illuminati.
Can't say.
Okay.
Right. So these, we'll call them suits. These suits hit them up and they're like, hey, man.
You've said enough already.
Yep. And they're like, hey, we're doing a sort of project where we're going to train you in remote viewing to basically predict the outcome of stock markets. And you're going to make a lot of money for us and we're going to pay you. And that's how this is going to go down. And so at first he's like, this is shady, but I'm here for a good story. So he's like, let's try it, whatever. They started paying him. So he's like, okay, this is legit. You know, paid him in Bitcoin and whatever.
But how does remote viewing foretell the future?
So that's the part that I'm learning right now.
I brought it up. Can I read it for a second?
What are you going to read?
A remote viewing.
I'm sorry. No, remote viewing. We understood what that is.
Okay.
But I remember when they were doing
experiments. I'd rather hear the guy studying it than the guy just reading it.
Because I remember this here. Because remote
viewing means looking at stuff. remote could be like a TV clicker.
He's looking at it. He's looking at the remote. Because I remember in World War II and in the Cold War, they were doing it to see what the Russians were up to. Mm-hmm. But how?
The Russians started it. Yeah.
How would they predict the future?
And so what happened basically in the 70s, once the United States found out about what was going on in Russia, they're like, oh, we have to do the same thing because we got to keep up with the Russians. So they put a lot of money into the Stanford Research Institute, SRI, to see to take a scientific approach to remote viewing and basically run it through the scientific method and, you know, with p-values of percentages and all these things. So they got the world's leading physicists. One of the guys who invented the most powerful laser on the planet
Bill
was
Nye,
the
science guy.
Was Bill Nye, the science guy. And he was on the head of this scientific sort of research program. And for 30 years, they were dumping money into this thing because every year the numbers got better. They got better and better because the training got better. And so their p-values increased, and they just kept seeing that, hey, this is a legit, there's something here. They don't know how, but they refine their structure and their process to a point where they can see that it gets better over time and more accurate.
This is so crazy.
So they had to just do it, right? And so those people now in America are doing seminars and doing all these sorts of things and teaching other people about this. So anyways, my buddy Nelson Dulles, he gets hit up by these people. And they're like, yeah, we want to do this. He's like, fuck, whatever. Starts doing it. Trains every day for a month with them for a couple hours a day.
How do you train?
There's a lot that goes into it, but it's a lot
Is it interesting?
There's subconscious training and conscious training. So there's like two things you got to work on.
Nothing physical.
No, just a lot of like, yeah, writing. A lot of, you know, learning new adjectives and stuff like that. And then there's like the subconscious part of your brain that works by itself kind of thing. It's sort of like it's weird to talk about, man, because I'm somebody who's very grounded in like science and what's real.
So what a wizard would say.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just, you know, I don't anything supernatural. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's a fun story.
We'll explain it away.
But then, you know, you start having proof and you're like, oh, shit. OK, well, what the fuck is this? And he's the same way. He's a physicist, actually. He teaches physics, this guy. And so he, as well, is like, hey, I'm just here for the story. And turns out he's like, oh, shit. Now he's like placing online bets and stuff for teams. And so this.
I mean, there's 50-50 shot on
so
that one.
That's the thing. Yeah. It is 50-50. The person who trained Nelson, I got a hold of him and for this documentary, and I started talking to him. He does this for a living now, plays the market. That's all he does. Through remote viewing, and he teaches other people how to do it. In the last 250 bets or whatever, 155 of them were wins. 30 of them were neutral, and the rest were losses. So 155 out of 250, it's more than impressive. Ooh. He said it's a 1 in 40 million chance of that happening. If not, we'd all be rich, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what he's doing. And he works for these giant hedge funds who basically put together this fucking ragtag team. And that's why they hit up the memory guy, because they're like, oh, he's better at visualizing things. Maybe we can use him. So they're trying different things, like creating this team of X-Men. And it's real
money.
Does
memory help?
Visualization helps.
Okay.
So memory, all it is just visualization.
Okay.
So if, you know, the more vulgar, the more texture, the more detail, the image, the more likely you are to remember it when you associate it with something.
He's a vulgar image.
Yeah. Right. So you never forget him. You know. So they're,
you're gonna be rich, kid.
But that's hey. That's the idea. Even with a deck of cards, like every card for me has like a story type thing, right? So it's just imagery that you form in your head.
But this is scientific. You can remember. It's almost like photo memory.
That doesn't really exist, but people call it that. But
whatever
it's like,
it is, like you have. Yeah.
There's a mind palace. I have a mind palace, literally, and you walk through it, and then you place things.
You have that shit?
Yeah, yeah. You have to learn. You have to learn it for memory stuff. Yeah. It's a legit thing.
Any renovations ever go on in the
palace? So you don't want to, like, my buddy Nelson, who's one of his mind palaces, has over 10,000 rooms, like places, and he took the entire campus of University of Miami and created his mind palace for his pie, remembering pie. And I was trying to fuck with him, and I was like, oh, yeah, what do you got in this room? And he's like, this. And I'm like, cool, I'm just going to leave this here in this room. He's like, no, don't fuck with that. He's like, don't fuck with that. Because he does championships and shit, right? So I'm starting implanting things in his fake mind palace.
This
and it's
is
messing
crazy.
With him, yeah.
There's people who forget where they left their goddamn keys.
It's so easy, actually.
I forget where
I
parked, bro.
It's incredibly easy to remember things once you understand how memory works. Because it's not just subconscious. You have to willfully want to remember something.
Yeah.
And when you apply a process to it, it becomes very easy. And either of you could remember a deck of cards within 4 or 5 days. You'll get it down to 10 minutes. You can remember it.
Whenever I don't, like, I have a shitty memory, but the way I always explain it to my wife is if I don't remember stuff, I'm like, it's because that isn't important to me.
Yeah.
Whenever something's important, I always remember.
Like my set. Like, I always panic.
I never
forgot
a joke in
I don't
my
forget
life.
Jokes, yeah.
Really?
Like, I think, oh, shit, how am I going to do 40 minutes? How am I going to do this? And then I just do it.
So do you have a visual representation of that story of that joke in your head where you see, like, these visual cues of this is my next joke and you're seeing this?
I always do, like, each joke should remind me of the next joke.
Yeah.
Kind of okay, like okay, how yeah, a conversation is.
Right.
Like if you're, like when you're talking to someone, you never talk to someone and go, and then I went to the
chicken.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, right, so, right. So if
they're associative.
So whenever I write like a new hour or whatever, if I know that, okay, this bit, I always forget it. That means it doesn't belong where right, I put it.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
If it's interchangeable.
That makes total sense though, yeah, that like it would be easier to remember something that flows naturally yeah, like that.
That's why when you watch like my stand up, sometimes you'll go, shouldn't like, why is that strong bit like so close to the beginning? It's the way that it logically fits.
Yeah.
Like comedically to be better at the end.
Right, right.
But
right,
logically it's better in the beginning.
Yeah, I prefer a good flow too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose that's probably, like you said, easier to remember than jumping from topic to topic. And
yeah.
Oh, that's, you're going to miss stuff. I've yeah, done that when you're practicing.
Yeah.
You'll do that. You'll
like a lot of the one-liner.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like dude, in the old days, like a Stephen yeah, Wright.
Then I'll forget stuff.
He did that.
Because I'll get off stage like, oh, I didn't even try this one because the sequence didn't make sense.
Yeah. Right.
But if it makes sense, you could. You, it's a story that you're telling. Yeah. And then you end up somewhere else completely, but you know where you started from.
That's why Jimmy Carr always has his pad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when he's, whenever, like he doesn't use it when he's doing a one-man show, but right, when he's working on stuff, because him, it's just one-liners.
Yeah, yeah, so one after the other.
He'll go like, and if he doesn't have the pad, he'll forget, like I might forget one joke, but he'll forget like yeah, 600 jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, because they're instant.
Yeah.
Well, so with memory development is, you could probably remember all those one-liners like really easily with the techniques that are taught in memory. Memory stuff. It's
wait,
really
wait.
How hard is it to, it's not to hard, learn that?
Not hard at all.
You try to pull a hypnosis on no, us. I'm
literally
not
literally show you how this works. Like
no. Again, you're doing the hypnosis. I'm not going to fall for it.
So hold on.
How? Well, we forgot to mention something. He's trying to pull a fast one on us. How this can is, the remote viewers tell the future?
This is not a trick. I'm just going to show you. Like, so, basically, for a deck of cards, every single suit would be a different thing. So for me, diamonds is like famous people. Clubs is like athletes. Mm. Hearts is friends and family. And spades are like superheroes.
Okay.
Right? So like the queen of spades for me might be, you know, Wonder Woman. Right? So I'm remembering Wonder Woman. But now I have to also set an action, a person, action, object. So it's Wonder Woman flying with a rope.
Okay.
Person, action, object. Like Wonder Woman flying with a rope. Easy to imagine, right? So if I had like this one next to it, and this one was Kim Kardashian, and it has to be sometimes vulgar, like Kim Kardashian sucking a dick or whatever, yeah, right? Yeah. That would be the thing.
I have a deck of those cards.
It's in your head, right? So it's like never things you tell people, like, but it makes it so that you remember.
These are all realistic scenarios.
If this would be beside this, it would be Wonder Woman sucking, and then the third one would be whatever the object is there. So now I'm imagining Wonder Woman sucking a baseball bat, right? Yeah, let's say. Yeah. And I'm going to place that person in the entrance of my house where the door opens. So I'm just picturing Wonder Woman giving head to this baseball bat as soon as I walk in the door. That's all I remember. I don't remember Queen of Clubs. I don't remember Queen of Spades. I don't remember any of that shit. All I know is the image Wonder Woman sucking baseball bat.
And then you have to interpret that.
And that's three cards in one image. Then I'm jumping around my house and dropping these things as I'm looking through the deck. Right? So these things are all now placed. All I have to do is walk through and associate what that image is. So if I go Wonder Woman, she's a superhero. And at the end, it gets really fast. But at first, you're like, she's a superhero. Okay, that means she's a spade. Wonder Woman, that's the queen of spades. Sucking, who was sucking? Kim Kardashian was sucking. Queen of diamonds, a bat. That was the baseball player, Jack of spades. So then you can go through and remember just with the imagery.
Kind of like, this is kind of like the Matrix shit. Like what I'm picturing is the, you know, the guns fucking pulling up and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, in the mind? Like,
It's more like a Sherlock Holmes.
It must be easier to remember like queen of diamonds than like a four of diamonds, because then you're like a four.
So here's how you remember those numbers.
So
you,
not you Gal have, Gadot.
Yeah.
Maybe that chick that was complaining at the show. She's yeah, more of a four.
Yeah.
So you have something called
Melissa McCarthy.
She's a four. She's a four. Was she a three or a four? Yeah. There's something called the major system. And the major system is basically like it gives you consonants for every number. Like zero is z or s, one is t or d, Two is N, and two kind of looks like an N. Three is an M, M sound. It looks like an M. So you associate all those numbers. Four, you take the R out of the four. So then you know all your fours start with R.
Okay.
All your, so you, once you learn that, and then you can associate everything to...
Oh, shit.
To your thing. So then it's just really easy. It's like doing quick maths in your head.
Quick maths.
And then once you learn it, though, once you're really good at it, yeah, the I think the world record for a deck of cards is 12 seconds.
What?
Which is insane because I dare you to look at every card under 12 seconds. It's
insane. Who has this record? Is it a Chinese man?
It's a Japanese guy.
I was close.
Actually, it might be Chinese. But he basically, instead of having a person, action, object with three cards, he has remembered sets of two and sets of three. So one person is three cards together. So he's had to remember 10,000 images. So person, action, object. These three cards together create one person. These three cards are the action, et cetera, et cetera. And so he can look at nine cards, and it's as if I've looked at three. Exactly.
Yeah.
What God the damn. Fuck, dude?
Yeah. So this they're always trying to refine the process to get faster and faster in these championships. Yeah, it's kind of wild.
How do the championships... So let's say...
Okay, yo, I found
time,
this shit.
How much time do you have to look and remember?
I think it's like... It depends on what the task is. Because I think there's different categories. There's like there's places, people and places, or people and faces. Then there's poetry. Then there's cards. Then there's pie. So there's all these different types of things. So
I
sometimes
like that it ends with dessert.
Sometimes they'll leave you like an hour, and then it's like half an hour recalling of whatever.
This is fucking wild.
Yeah.
Holy shit! The mind palace. While you're talking, I'm trying to do a mind palace myself. I'm building a home.
Yeah, the dude who there's a book, a great book called Moonwalking with Einstein. It's a fantastic book by Josh Foer, and this guy is basically a journalist who went into this world thinking everybody here is going to be autistic and you know kind of mentally just you know
that's what you're experiencing right
off
now.
Off a little, you know. But it's what you would assume when you're like, you know, memory champions. You're like, okay, but yeah. They also can't have a normal conversation, but they can. They're just normal people. And so he found that out when he went to these things. He's like, what? You guys are all, they're going out drinking.
You know,
one guy's got a finals test the next day. He's like, I'll study right before. He's like, it's fine.
That must suck for autistic people to figure out, okay, I'm just weird.
Yeah. What can you do? I can't hold a conversation.
Yeah, I don't have any special powers.
I can't look at people in the eye.
But again, you didn't answer my question. Remote viewing is one thing. How can they tell the future?
So from what's been explained to me with remote viewing is, and again, this is all just theoreticals and not even theoretical. It's just guessing, right? But that sort of consciousness and information lives on this frequency that's not bound by space or time. It's just always been here. It always was and always will be. It's all around, omnipresent. And when you apparently hit a certain frequency through meditation or through whatever it is, you can pick up sort of fragments of information. And when you direct that sort of meditation or whatever towards a certain place or space and time, you can pick up fragments and be incredibly accurate, they found. So that's
for
what interests me.
Future prediction.
Future and past, yeah.
You know what fucks with me? Past,
in time
I
and
can
space.
Understand.
So like the moon, if you want, whatever.
I would believe that more than the future, because the future, what bugs me is if it hasn't happened yet, you don't have, even if you go up another frequency, it hasn't happened yet for you to pull from it. That's
so
what fucks with me.
That's, it hasn't happened to you,
yeah.
But the way that space-time works, like according to Einstein and stuff.
Everything's already happened?
Everything's happening at once. Like it's one plane. Space-time is just one thing constantly. Everything is happening, space and time. We just experience it differently than it is, right? So if you can reach in and grab a point in space or time, like it doesn't matter if it's in the future or the past.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's wild. But it sets you for a trip, because I have pictures of like some readings that I did early on, and those, like the hair was standing up at the back of my neck, like after those, because I was going into it like, okay, well, let's give it a shot.
You predicted the pandemic.
And there's, so basically we just start with photos. It's a double blind. So the person doesn't know, I don't know what the photo is. No one knows what the photo is. I get a number and that's all I get. I get a number and the number's like just a generic number that he made for the thing. And then I just start writing what I'm seeing in my head, like flash images, colors, smells, textures. And then I go to drawing something, and then I'll just describe it some more, and then I'll write end, and I'm done. and you look at the two and you're like, oh shit, this is really fucking close. Like 90, like could have been a picture of a bear. Like it could have been anything. And I got like 98% of the information there is on that picture. So it freaked me out. I was like, whoa, God, this damn. Is fucked. Yeah.
Was it a bear?
It was not a bear.
It was Bert Kreischer. Goddamn Warlock.
Yeah. Fuck.
Well, Chris, look, I want to thank you for coming to the show. I believe we're very, very excited to have you. And this was fucking enlightening.
Yeah.
If we want to go see your tour with Wes, where do we go to get tickets?
I have. You can check out my Instagram because I have like a link tree. So you can check out my Instagram there or check out my YouTube. Whatever you like, you'll find it.
Yeah, make sure, what's his name? Jason's going to put all the links in the description anyway, so it's easier. If you're listening to this or if you're watching this, just go to the description.
Yep.
It's not going to be hard to find Chris. So they get to watch our YouTube channel, subscribe to that shit, but also they could see you live.
They can see us live.
And that's what we're pushing them towards.
Yep, absolutely. So May 1st, May 2nd, and 3rd, we're out west, and then we're coming back and doing some more around here in June as well, so...
Well, Chris, thank you very much for
thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. Absolute honor. Thank you.
It's fun to have you.
Thanks.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.